on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare
with a serious spin, whether it be sports, faith, parenting,
balance, relationships, education, community, coaching,
starting over, how do you reboot yourself,
ministry, relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in, ask us questions, be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1. Wednesday. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
I am good, Karen. How are you on this wet, wildin' out Wednesday?
I know. It's like every other Wednesday is something different, but there's always rain.
Yeah, well, as long as there's sun that follows, I'm cool.
Exactly. We've been getting such good feedback over the last couple of shows. That they've really been impacting people. So I'm glad that we're going to have an opportunity just to continue the conversations that we've been having and talking about overcoming obstacles and odds and things of that nature. And it's, what's really good is on the heels of everybody talking about Kevin Durant's MVP acceptance speech and how he paid tribute to his mother and overcoming the odds. This is really very timely.
Oh, I think absolutely. We are in a space now where women in particular and everyone else in general is taking a nice reflective look at who they are and where they've been and really taking stock and an account of what has gotten them to this place, whether it's been good or bad, and are saying, okay, I'm on the right path. I'm going to keep moving in this direction. Or maybe I need to press the pause button for a minute and do some redirecting and then go in an opposite direction from the things that I've learned. And one of the things that we've been clear about on our show is it's our responsibility to help our audience understand that it's okay.
It's right.
To start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets an opportunity for a do-over. The thing is, what do you do with your do-over?
Yeah, and what we had talked about, even on our little intro, is rebooting oneself. How do you do that? What are the tools that are necessary? How do you go about doing that? How do you fine-tune? How do you tweak? How do you purge? And our guest is going to share some of that with us.
Oh, absolutely. We have a very exciting guest in today, Ms. Jennifer Tyler. I guess I should say the Mrs. Jennifer Tyler is joining us today, and she is the author of two amazing works. But yes. I love her website, Jennifer Lucy Inspires, and I had an opportunity to listen to this young woman speak, and she is truly an inspiring force in what our young women need to hear today on how to, one, get it together, and to keep it together. So, Jennifer, welcome to Conversation with Jackie and Karen.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to, you know, just talk with you all about this.
Well, we do a lot of talking on the show.
Well, I love to talk, so y'all may have to shut me up.
Oh, no, our audience enjoys it. It helps them find themselves and our guests and helps them, you know, pinpoint their own strengths and weaknesses and then have an access point, you know, in which to do that. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted you to join us today, is because you have identified in your own life some access points that have allowed you to become the woman that you knew you could be. So talk to us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and we'll follow your lead.
Okay, well, as you say, my name is Jennifer Tyler, and I'm the author of a book called Dry Tears, A Woman's Guide to Overcoming. And I wrote that book out of a desire to really inspire other women to overcome the odds. It's very, very transparent. I bear all in this book. I tell all, you know, because I know that that's so important for people to be able to see that you've overcome. You know, if you're going to be talking about overcoming, that you can, you know, really share the things that you've overcome. So I share my life story, and I also share principles, biblical principles that the reader can use to overcome in their own lives and that they can apply in their own lives. And so my heart's desire is to just see women overcome everywhere. My heart's desire is to simply count in those that have been counted out, because I know what it feels like to have been counted out. And I thank God that, you know, I had people in my corner during those, what I call the special years of my life, that just did not count me out, that continued to walk by my side and continue to encourage me and let me know that I can overcome. I grew up in Washington, D.C. I'm a product of the D.C. public school system. I did not grow up in a home, in a Christian home, where the word of God was being taught consistently, or where I was, you know, forced to go to church. And so because of that, the door was open for me to just really engage in anything that I wanted to engage in. And as a result, as a young girl, I lost my virginity very young. I began to live a promiscuous lifestyle, and I began to also dabble into drugs and even I always call it so-called exotic dancing, because there's nothing exotic about it. But my life was really going down a dark abyss, from depression to having a low self-worth, to not really understanding who I was. And I love this quote that talks about purpose. When you don't understand the purpose of a thing, that you will abuse it. And I didn't understand my purpose in life. I didn't understand the purpose of sex. So because of that, I abused those different areas. I abused my body. I abused sex, all because I was trying to fill voids in my life at the time. And so, you know, this book, I share, you know, some of that in detail, but I also share how you can overcome those types of obstacles in anything, to going on to just having a free life. And, you know, the great thing about our God is that you don't ever have to look like what you've been through once you've overcome.
Say that again. Yeah, somebody's going to need to hear that twice.
Yes, you don't have to look, because people look at me, and when I share all of those things that I've been through, they look at me with a look of shock or disbelief. And that's because, you know, through God's grace, I have truly been able to overcome and walk in freedom.
Now, that's absolutely a blessing. The quote that you just said, that you don't have to look like what you've been through.
Amen.
Because there are people who look like they've been to hell and back.
Exactly.
In the sense that they look weathered. They look older than they are. You can tell the joy has been depleted from their lives. And even though they've found their liberation, they've yet to be able to learn how to walk in their freedom. Can you share with us for a little bit, how is it that you've been able to walk into this new life that you've been given?
Wow. Well, definitely, I could not do it in my own strength. And just to tell you some of the things that, you know, led to that point, because I believe that we all have a breaking point in our lives where we are just tired of being tired. And I got to that point in my life in 2004. As I was living this life that was just completely out of the will of God for my life, I remember my mother, at this time, she was just starting her relationship with God. And she asked me to come to church with her. My first lady at the time was having some type of lock-in, some type of sleepover. And I remember asking my best friend, I said, can you please come with me to this event, because I don't really do church people. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go by myself.
And church
I said, can you please come? I mean, and she came. And this event, I remember it literally, that was the day that my life began to change. They did an amazing skit, a powerful skit that, and then they did an altar call after that skit. And I remember as they were praying for people, I remember peeking out the corner of my eye when I should have been praying. And I saw my best friend raise her hand, you know, to go up. And I looked at her and I said, well, shoot, if she raised her hand, I know I need to raise my hand because I know I'm a hot mess. So I followed my best friend's lead. But when I did that, God honored that. And, you know, something changed in me that day. Well, that happened in July or June of 2004. In September of 2004, that same best friend was murdered.
Oh, my.
In a drive-by shooting, just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so, you know, I thank God I know where she is because of the decision that she decided to make on that day. But it was at that point in my life where I felt so much emptiness that I did not have the peace of God until I surrendered. And until I, you know, the only time I had peace, the only time I felt joy was when I went back to the place in the house of the Lord with my parents, or when I went to my parents' house, you know, because the presence of God resided there. So that was the only time that I had peace. And it was after that time where I slowly began to walk towards a journey of overcoming, because I just said, you know, enough is enough. And I began to surrender at that point. And then there's an entire, you know, process that we could talk about from that point on that I had to do, because, of course, you know, those different strongholds and things that, you know, I had experienced, they didn't go away overnight, you know, but it was a process. And so, you know, I just want to let people know, if you're in that process, to just don't get weary in well doing, because, you know, eventually you're going to start to see the fruit of that process and enduring the process.
Absolutely true. And what I want to do, Jackie, is talk about the signs and you know, knowing when you're empty and how do you replenish yourself? How do you know, or how do you recognize when you're in a pit, a hell, literally, and how do you pull yourself out? What does it take to do that? Jennifer, at the other side of the break, I want to do that. We're going to be joined by your husband,
okay,
Jeffrey, and then we're going to have a more conversation. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're joined by Jennifer Lucy Tyler and Jeffrey Tyler to talk about just overcoming different obstacles in one's life. She's the author of Dry Tears, A Woman's Guide to Overcoming, as well as 101 Things to Do Other Than Have Sex, Hump, Bump, and Grind. So we'll get to that.
I know, I love the title of that.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my God. That's why we needed an hour, because exactly. That title alone speaks volumes.
Exactly.
Hey, Jeffrey, welcome to Conversations with Jackie and Karen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here.
I'm glad you both are coming. You're joining us together. It's very exciting. We rarely get to talk to husband and wife.
Exactly.
So your wife's story is so amazing, and just would love to hear, you know, after Jennifer tells us about emptiness and what those signs are so our audience can hear. Just what it means, you know, for you to, because I understand y'all were friends before y'all got married, which is so important. You know,
yes.
What does courtship look like, and how do you get to know the woman you want to marry? Because so many of our young girls and our young men miss courtship and
yes.
The value of finding a friend before you find a lover.
So oh, wow.
I would like to talk about that, you know, on after we hear from Jennifer.
Sure. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm
That's one of our favorite topics
to talk
about.
So before the break, Jennifer, real quick, we were talking about how does one recognize when they are when there is a way out and they may not see it.
Yeah, and that being empty, because you talked about spiraling down. A lot of people don't know when they're out of control.
Absolutely. You know, for years, I did not even realize that I was out of control. And I really, really have to attribute, you know, the Holy Spirit for just kind of giving me that awakening. And my advice for listeners is to just pay attention when God is always speaking. You know, I spoke with a mentee the other day, and She just was like, you know, I'm not hearing God. And I'm like, no, you're hearing God. He's always speaking. You just may be, you're expecting him to come down in this loud, booming voice. But, you know, oftentimes it's the still, small voice where he's telling you, stop. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to go over there. You don't need to do this anymore. There's better. And God often speaks to us in that still small voice. And it's up to us to really just begin to just take heed to that voice. And so I remember hearing God speak to me in that still small voice. And there were other times where, you know, God manifested himself in dreams and visions and things like that. But it was those moments where I heard him in that still small voice in the quiet, alone times in my room by myself where I said, okay, I need to get it together. And the process, like I said, it was a process. But the first step to my process was removing myself from all of the toxic environments, mm-hmm. all of the toxic people that were in my life. And that was difficult because, you know, you become accustomed to, you know, these certain relationships and different people that are in your life. And there becomes a season in your life once you remove yourself where you can feel lonely. And it's in those seasons where you have to allow God to fill that void because you are really, truly never alone. And you have to allow him to fill that void by being purposeful about spending some time with him, getting to know yourself, getting to know God, taking yourself out to eat, taking yourself out on dates. And that was so uncomfortable at first, but it was those moments that I really began to grow. And I so appreciate them today because it made me comfortable with myself and comfortable with who I am.
I know, like, for in my own case, as an example, one of the things that I had to do was to get out of my own way, as you're expressing, because some of the toxicity was coming from my internal. It was coming from me. And one of the things, the lessons that the Lord brought me to was laying the bricks so that I could reconnect with him. So it was increasing your prayer time, increasing your word time,
absolutely.
Increasing your time with him, so that I could get back to the core and the foundation that he made in me.
Yes,
and sometimes I think like you mentioned, you're in the stench of it and you don't recognize that you're affected by your own stench, mm-hmm. as well as that of others, mm-hmm. so that you can grow and heal and move, mm-hmm. to the next level. And sometimes you have to, as you're saying, leave those things behind because they're not going anywhere and look toward those things that are on the move.
That's
where
right.
you want to go.
That's right.
That's
you know?
Right. I always say it gets, I had to get with those who had my answers and I had to get away from those people that had my problems.
Yes.
And I had to really get those people in my life that were in a place where I wanted to be and hold myself accountable to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, because when you're out there just kind of doing you don't answer to anybody, you're not accountable, you don't have those people to, you don't allow people to really pour into you and say, hey, you know, maybe this isn't the direction that you should be moving
in. Or pour positively.
Exactly.
Into, you know, pour. Because people will pour.
Yeah.
But you have to be very discerning about what's getting poured in.
Oh,
absolutely.
That is so true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Toxic people attract
totally
toxic people.
Yeah.
Because you want someone else to wallow with you. You don't want to be the only one, you know, doing what you're doing. It somewhat justifies,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you are doing. Well, if they're doing it, I should be doing it too. If this is what my peer group is hanging out doing in the evenings and on the weekends, and, you know, then I'm going to do that too. When there are so many other people out there doing more constructive
right.
things with their lives.
Right.
So you've got to discover how to get around the constructive people
exactly.
and get away from the destructive forces that
exactly.
are out there.
That's right.
Exactly. And it takes time. It's not
that's
overnight.
Right.
You know, you don't gain 10 pounds overnight. It mm-hmm. takes time to lose it. And you have to take time to work on yourself.
And mm-hmm. and then the renewing of the mind process,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that was completely, that was key in order to walk as an overcomer. I had to begin to renew my mind with the word of God and really replace those, that old mindset, and adopt a new mindset. And that's a process. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a daily process that we're always going to be renewing our minds, mm-hmm. And making sure that, you know, our minds are right. And I remember people used to say, well, Jennifer, you know, you're down at that church now. They brainwashing you. And I would say, well, the truth be told, many of us need our brains washed because mm-hmm. I had allowed so much junk, mm-hmm. you know, in my mindset for years and years and years, just junk that other people fed me, junk about, you know, what I was going to allow to come into my life. And I believed those lies of the enemy. And so I needed to wash my brain literally with some, not with some soap, but with the word of God. And I began to figure out who I was. And so once I figured out who I was in Christ and what I, you know, what God created me to be, I was able to really just walk as that overcomer.
Well, we want our listeners, if you want to give us a call at 1-800-450-7876 to join the conversation, please do. But we also want our listeners to know that it doesn't matter what your age is. It's never too late or too early to renew oneself and move in the direction that you want to go. Or the destiny that God has for you. It doesn't matter what your age is. Go ahead, Jack.
No, I was going to ask. Now, how long have you guys been married?
We've been married since September 24th, 2011. Look, I got to say the whole
thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I like that because a lot of times people may think that you were going through some of this by yourself because you mentioned that you and Jeffrey were friends before you got married. And so, Jeffrey, are you a part of her life as she's becoming this new woman?
Yes. And it's amazing because I met Jennifer at a youth conference at church. I met her at a youth conference and I had just joined the church. And it's funny because when I initially met her, you know, she was in a relationship already and we weren't looking at each other, you know, like that to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when I met her, she had already decided and made a decision that she was going to be a different person. Mm. And that was awesome, but she was still, you know, in a metamorphosis. She was still mm-hmm. working through it. Mm-hmm. But the awesome thing is that we became friends, and our friendship grew. And I told her as a friend, you know, I feel like I can trust you with my life.
Right.
And we weren't even planning on being in a relationship, but it just happened. It wasn't anything forced. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything pushed. What drew me to her was that I had a great friend. I had a great friend, and on top of that, she was fine, too. Still is. My God. Okay, all right, I'm focused. What was that?
Men and women see differently. God had to show you what you needed to see to make you understand this was her.
That's absolutely right.
Exactly. And the thing is, for men, guys, we will go after what we want. When we really want something, we will make sacrifices for it. Mm-hmm. But the sad thing, a lot of men, you know, the things that some of us have become passionate about have been some of the wrong things, though.
Yes.
You know, things to fill voids. Because just like, you know, women talk about how, you know, we talk about how women fill voids. Men, all of us, it's not gender specific. We fill voids with the wrong things. But our friendship grew. As I got to know her, she helped me become a better me, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed helping her become a better her. And, you know, from that point on, I just knew, you know, there's only one way to go. I told her, I do not want you to not be a part of my life.
Yeah.
And I had no idea I was saying, I love you, marry me.
That's that didn't pretty come much what he was saying. I was looking like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I understand that we're going to be going into a break. But on the other side of the break, I want both of you to dialogue about that. Because we do a lot of conversations with married couples on for sickness and health, for richer, for poor, for better, for worse. Because things can happen down the road. But you knew going in what God was signing you up for, because Jennifer was in the process of overcoming. And I think it's going to be important for our young men who are thinking about getting married, who got engaged in the new year, who, you know, are going through marriage difficulty or relationship difficulty, to hear from you, Jeffrey, about what kind of man it takes to stand by their woman. We hear a lot about women standing by their man.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we'd love to hear from you about what that process looks like for men in the caring of a woman who's coming into her own.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
We'll be right back on the other side. We're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're on. Our guests today are Jennifer Lucy Tyler, author of Dry Tears, The Woman's Guide to Overcoming, and her husband, Jeffrey Tyler, who has written the foreword on Jennifer's second book, 101 Things to Do Other Than Have Sex, Hump, Bump, and Grind.
I can't wait to talk about that.
Oh, man. But you got to get through the conversation of who you are and overcoming and growing through this process. And then God sends this man alongside you, because we talk to women on our show about, you know, and we tell this to men that, you know, you're the priest, you're the protector, the provider, you're the helpmate or the helpmeet that comes alongside. And a lot of people think that's after you say, I do. So now you're in this process, Jeffrey, that God has opened your eyes to this amazing woman, but you see she's going through her get-to phase. How do you deal with that as a man?
Wow.
What's your role and responsibility to care for her in this process?
My role and responsibility is to be first selfless. It's not about me. And when I say that, I mean, men, we can't, and you can't go into marriage with a selfish mindset that it's all about you. Because it's not all about you, it's all about two. And for me as a man, that means serving her. That means helping her. That means it's my job to be a cultivator. It's my job to help bring the best out of her and to love her unconditionally. One thing I told my wife when we got married, I said, baby, there's nothing that you can do to make me stop loving you ever. Because when I say that love is not based upon, as a husband, it's not based upon what she does or doesn't do. It's based upon a commitment I made to God. And see, that's what we don't get. We have all of these marriages nowadays where people get committed. Then when things don't go the way they expect or the way they want, we make excuses and compromise our integrity. Because love isn't a feeling, it's a decision. And, you know, being her husband, you know, I can say it's not always easy. We definitely have our challenges. We have personality differences.
We have background differences, you know.
Yeah. And so it was totally different. And see, merging that those two can be difficult at times, you know. And for me, Jennifer, she's a leadership. She's a leader. She's driven. You know, she can when she's driven and set on doing something, she really wants to do it. And me, I'm a little more laid back. You know, and so it's funny if you all, Jackie, if you all are in the house, it would just be funny seeing the differences. But what I love is we balance each other out. And so to completely answer your question, as a husband, men have to learn what it means to be a man before you become a husband. Being consistent. And now what's happening, you have a lot of guys who are getting in marriages, having kids. Now, fatherhood, husbandhood, and manhood are hitting you all at the same time.
That's powerful.
It is.
And I will even say this as a friend, you know, before we even got married, one of the things that I really loved about Jeff is that he was always so encouraging as it relates to my gifts and my callings and different things that he saw. And he was very, I mean, Jeff is actually a result because he's a former he had a radio show. So the first time I was ever on a radio show was with my husband interviewing me. And, you know, he was just always so encouraging and saw the gifts in me and was always even cultivating that during our friendship. And so that really, I really appreciated that.
And what I appreciated about what you said, Jeff, is that one of your roles is as a cultivator. Because you might see gifts, or at that time before you were married, perhaps, you probably saw something in Jennifer that she didn't see in herself.
Yes.
So you were trying to draw and pull those things out.
Yes.
So that as she's building her esteem, you're also helping encourage that esteem building as well, too. So that's important.
Yes,
and sometimes, ma'am is my mother. Here we go again.
Why do I keep saying ma'am? I have this habit. I grew up saying yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I'm going to stop, Karen. I'm telling you.
Karen, you know they only 12.
All right, what are we talking about humping, bumping? No, okay, I'm kidding.
Older than 17 or 18 years old, but clearly there's not. Words of wisdom. You know, they just met the other day at a youth conference.
Wow. The other day.
I mean, because they bring such a youthful spirit.
Exactly.
I mean, they bring this oneness and unity that what couples should represent, or what God intended a covenant marriage to be about. Mm-hmm. You don't look like your past. When you're selfless, when you're a unit, you are a representative of the future that God called a couple to be. Mm-hmm. And so you can hear the joy, the laughter, even though they're sharing the pain and the hardship. It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I would have never thought that. See, because right now what you hear is two people who are equally yoked, who have discovered what it means to be in a covenant relationship.
Absolutely.
And it makes all the difference.
And Jackie, you know, you clearly can speak from a place of authority as well, too, because you do as well. And me, as the single person, it's a reflection of, because it comes forth. You can see it. It comes through everything Jackie does. It comes through what you do as well, too, and how you present yourself here. But like you said, when you're in that covenant relationship and you recognize that you are brought together by God to reflect Him in every area and aspect of your life, it makes a difference so that you don't look like what you've been through. You don't look like whatever happens behind closed doors because you turn it over. You know, so it doesn't really have to reflect, you know, any of the disagreements or anything that one has been through. And if our listeners don't get anything else from this show, one of those things is, you know, not to let your past or your less than productive experience define what's happening next, or where your destiny is, or where you're going. You're not defined by that, what I call that circumstance, or that that commercial break in between the main feature of your life. That's just a commercial. And commercials last for a few seconds. The main feature is where you're going to. No, I got that. That's Kat. That's me. That's Kat.
We don't collect the offering for you on the air. Everybody, if you want to donate, yeah.
That was good.
She is going in. I love it.
I mean, but that's what we do. I mean, because people are figuring out, yeah, they found each other. Yeah, they got a husband and a wife. Mm-hmm. They're all on the radio, but they don't know my situation. Well, all of our situations are one situation removed from being your situation.
That's right.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We are not that different or disconnected because of where we are now.
That's right.
Because
that's
of where we've been.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of where we've been and what we've allowed ourselves to go through and grow through that we're able to have this open, honest, very transparent and vulnerable dialogue.
That's good.
You know, it's these types of situations, which, you know, which is my segue into your fabulous title of your next book. I mean, 101 ways. Because this is for the single people.
Yes, it's for singles.
And it's for the dating people.
Yep.
Yo, dating people.
Yes.
You dating. You're not married. I'm saying that
that's
because
right.
You are dating. You are not married.
That's
and there
right.
is also a lifestyle between your mate that you are dating that you are supposed to have. So talk to us a little bit about your 101 things to do rather than.
Okay, so the book is 101 things to do other than have sex, hump, bump, and grind. Remember, I said other than, because sometimes people see it and they're like, oh, okay, this is, no, other than. And so what it is, it's an informative, fun, and literally a random guide that assists a couple or single who desires to wait to have sex until marriage. The reason why I wrote this, my husband and I, our testimony was when we decided to courtship, when we decided to enter into courtship, we decided that we were going to honor God in that courtship, which means it wasn't going to be any sex, humping, bumping, grinding, none of that. We were determined to for God to get the glory out of this. Now, prior to actually meeting my husband, I had come out of the lifestyle, the promiscuous lifestyle, the lifestyle that I was sexually confused and dating women and men and everything. I had been there. I come out of that and I had made a determination to walk in sexual purity. And so prior to us even getting married, I had walked in sexual purity for 6 years. And my husband, was, when we got married, a 30-year-old virgin. And so people would just, you know, first of all, you know, when we would tell people, our desire and go into the different schools and, you know, different neighborhoods and just talk to different people about our testimony, they would say, well, what is it that you do do? And my answer would be to them, look, during this season of your life, there are literally 101 other things that you should or could be doing in order for you to grow as a person, in order for you all to grow in your friendship and in your courtship, and in order for you to just grow the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So there's other things that you can be focused on at that time that can be, that can produce fruit in your life. And so we literally sat down. I came up with 101 things. My husband helped me with some of the things as well. They're in different categories. Some of those categories are premarital must, and other ones are becoming a well-rounded me. But then I even have a category that says not your average date night, because, you know, you can have fun and really enjoy as a Christian your courtship, you know,
and build a deeper level of intimacy.
Absolutely.
You know, so
because you're forced at that time. Because you are not doing all of the sexual stuff, you're forced at that time to actually communicate. Uh-huh. And so because you're communicating.
Verbal communication, not nonverbal communication.
Exactly. Right. You're forced to really just really get to know each other and solve problems, talk things out. Because so often in the world, you know, the way that we'll solve a problem is to go jump into bed or, you know, kiss and have sex and do all those things. But we're not really getting down to the root of the issue. And so living this type of lifestyle, it really forces you to communicate with your partner more, and to really just grow closer together and grow closer to God, so that when you enter into marriage, you have a stronger foundation.
Mm. I had to give a pause there.
Yeah.
To you know, take all that in. Because
wow.
People, number one, you don't like yourself. So if you don't like yourself, you can't date yourself.
Right.
People have a problem going to the movies alone, taking themselves to lunch, going to the spa or the nail salon, taking a quiet walk or a bike ride. There are so many things that you should be doing as a single to get in touch with yourself, so that when that mate comes along, he's coming to the person you're in the process of becoming, or the person who are you are supposed to be. Now, I got married when I was 36 years old. I was very clear on my direction in life, and that if God was to send a mate to me, that mate wouldn't have to worry about me trying to discover myself after we got married.
Mm-hmm.
I can't express how important that is. Most people divorce because people don't know who they're marrying, because they didn't know who they are or were when they got married.
That's good. That's
problematic.
That's right, because you keep wearing the mask all through the courtship. You know, you're somebody else. You're trying to please. You're trying to be this, but you never get to your authentic self. And then you're married, and it's like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Who's this person?
Right.
Who's
that
ass comes off?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The veil is lifted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I need to go find myself. I'm going to take a sabbatical with my single girlfriends.
Right,
me and
the
fella's going down to Vegas. I need to find myself. Mm-hmm. Find yourself. Didn't you know who you were?
And don't
That's
you take
right.
and don't you take yourself with you when you go?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my God. Exactly.
We'll be back on the other side of the break. This
take
is conversation
yourself.
With Jackie and Karen. Okay, Alonzo, I think we're gonna have to change the music. We need to change the music next time. We'll do that next week.
The music's not moving you.
It's not moving me, Jack. I can't get into it.
Yeah, this is our Wild and Out Wednesday. I mean, we're having some very stimulating conversation and dialogue. Because I mean, it is so important on
That's
Wednesday
right.
for you to decide if you're going to go back to Monday, Tuesday living,
right.
or you're going to look forward to Thursday, Friday living.
Exactly.
I mean, I like Wednesday. I mean, where we're situated on Wednesday, it's that middle of the road.
And
where
middle of the day. That's right.
Where they're trying to figure out who they are and what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm loving this couple.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
We're loving
you
guys.
Yeah.
And I am so excited that Jeffrey and Jennifer Tyler have joined us today for us to have some really good conversation about overcoming and positive living, toxic people, how to get them out of your life, you know, things to do if you are single to keep you from being promiscuous. I mean, we talk all the time, you know, about abstinence is the best policy. But it doesn't do me any good to tell you about abstinence if I'm not going to share with you what to do while you're maintaining your abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Jennifer has given us
some really good tips. So share with us, because in your dating phase, while y'all were having verbal rather than nonverbal communication, share with our listeners some of the things that you guys would do that helped you communicate better, you know, get to know each other personally, mm-hmm. likes and dislikes.
One of the main things that we did is that we kept God at the center of our relationship, meaning Jeff and I, and we still do it today as a married couple, prayer, we will pray together, we will study together, we will talk about the word together. And another thing that really kept us, I believe, centered and strong is that we served a lot together. We did ministry together. We got to see one another in those types of atmospheres of serving and serving the community and serving in ministry. And that's how our friendship really began to grow. But it also kept us busy. It kept us focused on, you know, the right things.
Okay. And for those listeners that are not a part of a church or anything like that, what did you do outside of church? Did you go to a movie? Did you go to museums?
Oh,
you know, those
definitely.
Kinds of yeah. things. What did you do to focus the time that perhaps was not involved in church?
Oh, we did all that fun stuff. You know, mm-hmm. We just got really creative as far as, you know, with dates and things like that. One of the things that I always suggest to people, hey, you know, get out into your neighborhood, get out into your community, you know, do something different. You know, we did far more things than beyond, you know, movies. You know, we would go painting together. There was just a lot of different things that, I mean, for like some practical stuff, I would always go on livingsocial.com or Groupons and different things like that and find some creative different things to do that we would enjoy doing together and have fun. We did concerts together.
It might be a cooking class.
Yep.
Like you said, anything that's different. What's interesting to me, particularly people living in Washington, D.C., is that you have all these monuments and museums and things of that nature. You've lived here all your life. Have you never seen them? You never go outside of your ward or your outside of your southeast and southwest, northeast, northwest neighborhood. And those are things that you can do and you can share and open your mind.
We went to the museum the other day.
Yes. We did, yeah.
See?
Just doing cultural activities, doing things that broaden your mind. And so many, you know, and when you expose yourself, it makes your relationship better.
Yeah.
Your relationships comes up a notch. Mm-hmm. It's all about exposure, because what you're exposed to, it's your reality. Mm-hmm. And we have a generation of people that really, especially of young people, that have not been taught to really get outside of what they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that
and
was
big for
us. And
you have those pockets of people that will try to keep you.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
where they're comfortable and they don't want you to get out of their comfort zone.
Mm.
So they try and hold you where they are.
That is so
true.
That
makes a big difference, because when you're going out doing things, you have the love.
Mm-hmm.
The desire is there, the heart's passion. But when the mind is engaged, there's an appreciation for who your mate is. There's
Absolutely.
A level of respect for what that person brings to society and to culture. You begin to see their worth and their value. And I think it was Jeffrey that said it. It's not about you, it's about two.
Right.
And so when you have that type of understanding, you don't talk over your mate as if their opinion doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Both
That's right.
them
That's
shine
very good.
Because you know what they bring to the table. But if you've never been validated by your spouse or by who you're dating, it makes it difficult for that person to step up, because you're always holding them back and keeping them down.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that you can only learn by going places together, engaging in the world beyond your circle of current friends who are not maybe, you know, allowing you to step out of a comfort zone that could be crippling down the road.
Right.
It makes a big difference.
It
That's
does.
So true.
It
I
does.
Mean,
yeah.
I I have an entire section that says, like I said, not your average date night, that has just creative ideas in that book for you to get out of your comfort zone.
That's right.
And enjoy life and begin to have some fun with one another. Just some very practical things, and even just some interesting things, maybe things that you just have never even thought to do or to look into, that you can begin to do and just get to know one another.
And even as a single person, you can be like David and encourage yourself. You know, you could just go to different places.
Absolutely.
And you never know, you might meet someone that you haven't met before and strike up a conversation and develop that intellectual intimacy with mm-hmm. someone else down the road. That's equally important, and more so in some respects.
Absolutely. Right. Get out from behind the computer.
Yeah.
And,
that's right.
And the cell phone.
And the cell phone. And go talk to people.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And share with our listeners how they can find your books.
They can find these books on my website, which is www.jenniferlucyinspires.com. And I will send them to you. You also can find Dry Tears on Amazon. 101 is not on Amazon, but that's on my website. And I'll sign the books and send them off to you.
All right. That's very exciting. Now, do you have any upcoming events, speaking, where people can actually come and see you? You guys are amazing. I had a chance to see you face-to-face on Saturday. And this is a very dynamic, God-sent, Holy Spirit-filled couple. And I don't mean Holy Spirit-filled in the sense they holy rollers. I mean they are in tune with who they are as believers, which allows them to share from their heart their experiences with other people. Where will you be soon so that people can see you?
Well,
where can we find you?
Actually, this Saturday, I'm going to pull up the address, but this Saturday I'll be teaching at, I'm trying to pull it up. Just give me a second. But we're a part of a movement that is doing amazing things in this community called the Engage Movement. And it's a movement ran by young adults who just really have a heart's desire to see a generation and a city change. And it's going to be worship. It's going to be word. And so that address is
5335. First place, and that's in Northeast Washington, D.C. this Saturday.
And it starts at 5:30. So if you are just looking to come out and just experience something different, meet some people, have some amazing worship, and get some good word, that's the place to be.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like people
great.
Need to be engaged.
Yep.
That's it right there. I like that.
Exactly. Well, we really just want to thank you for joining us today. It's been very, very uplifting and inspiring and empowering in a number of areas. And I know I want to encourage you, and I know Jackie already has, but just to keep on doing what you're doing, because it's a message that needs to be heard. It's vital. And because you're so young, you're so relatable to people of all ages that are going through all kinds of things, you know, that you've been through personally and can see, you know, and can help folks realize, hey, it's not as bad as it seems right now. Tomorrow is coming.
Yes.
You know, there's joy in the morning. So I appreciate the fact that you not only have, you know, lifted the veil on yourselves so that you can inspire others, but that you're walking what you speak. And that's very important. Jack, you want to close us out today?
Well, you've been listening to Conversation with Jackie and Karen, and I'm very excited to have Jennifer and Jeffrey Tyler joining us. I mean, this young couple has given us today words of wisdom that I believe as we, you know, play this show over and over again, people are going to be on your website, signing up for your newsletter, Jennifer, you know, saying, I need this couple in my life. I need this man. These men are going to be saying, I need this gentleman in my life to help me straighten myself out, because I've got this girl that I really care about, but I don't know how to talk to her. I don't know what to say to, you know, be right in her life. And so I think that these are the things that our young men and young women need, is other people, as Karen said, who are relatable to where they are, you know, right now. Jennifer said something on Saturday that my girls are still talking about, and she made this statement that said, you know, you wonder why this guy doesn't call you anymore, and she said, because you were just a thought. Now, back in my day, we used to call it a booty call.
Yeah.
I like the fact that she is relevant and resonant. Right. And she speaks the language of the young people today, and she knows what she's talking about. So definitely, JenniferLucyInspires.com. You all have been listening to Conversation with Jackie and Karen, and we will be back next week. Jennifer and Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
having us. Thank you so much
for
having us. We had a good time.
We had a great time. Yes. Endure the process, whoever is listening. Just endure the process. Don't give up. You can do this. You can overcome. It doesn't matter what it looks like now, but you are an overcomer.
That's right.
And on that, Jennifer has had the last word.
Take care.
We're on lunch hour. Talking about what you want to be talking about. Light fare.
With a serious spin. Whether it be sports, faith, parenting.
Balance, relationships, education, community. Coaching.
Starting over. How do you reboot yourself?
Ministry. Relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in. Ask us questions. Be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM WOL.
Noon to 1.